leaders that are over us, and we need to follow the law. But I want you to understand that God's law comes first. Amen? So he goes on and he says, he prepares them. He explains to them that he's preparing. I've got to go. I've got to go get your mansion ready. I've got to get your home ready. This home, this eternal home that I promised you. And then the final thing he says, and I am coming again. I am coming again. He goes on. I want you to drop down to verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. I want to read that again. It says, and in verse 16 it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. You take that word comforter, and you take it and you find the meaning in the Greek, and it's... I'm gonna blow this, but it's okay because I'm human. Parakleos, which is translated paraclete, it's the one who comes alongside. So what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples, and I'm trying to tell you this morning, is Jesus had to leave planet Earth. He had to fulfill, he had to accomplish what he came to do according to Scripture, but he said, I am going to go take my place on the throne next to my Father, and my Father is going to send the Comforter, Holy Spirit, to come help you, to live beside you, to live in you, to work with you, to accomplish all that I created you to accomplish. Can you say amen? God is good, man. He's not here to leave us or forsake us. He's here to complete what he came to do. It goes on. So the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is our comforter. He's the one that comes alongside. Now listen, that he may abide with you forever. I'm going to come back to that word abide, and I'm going to show you another word called abode, so you have a real clear understanding. And I want you to understand that as I kind of teach you this morning, God is a very relational God. He wants to be very connected. Matter of fact, you're either connected or you're disconnected. Did you catch that? And we need to be very connected. Watch as it goes on. In verse 17, he goes on and he says, and the Spirit of truth. Okay, listen to me, because this is really, really important for you and I to understand. There is an anti-spirit in our world, an anti-God spirit, an anti-Christ spirit. That is a spirit that opposes everything that our Bible teaches and preaches. And that anti-Christ spirit, that anti-God spirit, is very at work right now in our world, all around the globe. That's why they don't want you preaching and teaching in Jesus' name. Because the globalists, the ones who want a one-world government, the ones who want to run things and control things and want to control you and I and everything in it, they don't want anything to have to do with God. They want to push God. They want to push the Lord Jesus Christ literally out of our lives. And they want us to focus literally on them, which is so unbiblical. Are you with me? Our goal, our eyes, our focus, everything we are and everything we hope to be should be focused on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Amen? We need Him. We need Him. I got to say that again. We need Him. And He wants to be real to us. He wants relationship. He wants to be connected, not disconnected. Now listen, it says in verse 17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, because the reason I share that with you is because there's a lot of unbiblical truth that's not truth. There's a lot of unbiblical stuff that is being taught and preached all around the globe that is not biblical. And so you and I, we need to do what 2 Timothy 2:15 says. We need to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every day, we need to get into the word of God, and we need to be challenged, and we need to know what the word of God says. We need to get a Strong's Concordance or whatever kind of Greek or Hebrew dictionary or something. You need to get it along so you can know what words mean and how they break down and what they have to do with us today in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 17, we continue on, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, who's he talking to? You got to keep this in context. Right now, he's talking to his disciples. So right now, not only was he talking to his disciples then, he's talking to his disciples right now. He's talking to you and us, you and I right now. And he goes on in verse 18, and he says, I will not leave you comfortless. That literally means you take that and you identify that word in the Greek. I'm not going to leave you alone. How many times does the enemy make us feel like we're alone and nobody gives a rip where we're at? That's a lie of who? Of the devil, of that antichrist spirit that is moving and very real in our present day. He goes on and says, I will not leave you comfortless. But he goes on and he says, I will come to you. That means, man, this is powerful. That means every day you get up in the morning, he wants to be with you. He wants relationship. He desires relationship. He desires connectivity. And so often what happens if we're not careful, we get into a rhythm and we get into a rhythm where we get up, we get our cup of coffee or whatever you like to drink in the morning, and we get ready for work, and we hit it, run out the door, and we go through the day. And many times, I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm not trying to, you know, step on your toes, although it's probably necessary for us today, right? Sometimes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit gets the last part of our day. When what we need to do is we need to flip everything and make sure that before we leave the house, that he gets the first part of our day. Are you with me? God needs to be first in every area of our life. So if we have to get up a little bit earlier so that we can spend quality time with him, we need to do that. We need to be in his word. We need to allow the word to become a very much a part of our being and our language that we speak on an everyday basis. And how can the attributes that the Holy Spirit helps us with is to bring back to our remembrance the things that we learn and the things that we read and the things that he taught us to. How can we expect the Holy Spirit to bring back what we haven't put inside? So every day we got to meditate on God's word. He has to be priority. Every day we have to talk to him and allow him to talk to us. That, you know what that literally means, don't you? That means we have to close this mouth and be quick to listen. Amen? Amen? This is not even what it's some of this stuff is extra added into my notes. But can you just say praise the Lord? And so when he gets to verse 18, he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. He says, but I'm going to come to you. Now I want you to go down to verse 23. And I want you to pay close attention, because I'm going to come back to that word abide, because abide and abode are closely related. Verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, now I'm going to go slow right here, because I want you to focus on this right now. I want you to ask yourself the question, And I want you to think about anybody else, but I want you to ask, do you love him? Because that's a command. That is a command. To love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then to love your brother, which is your neighbor, everyone you come in contact with, as yourself. That's what the scripture says. And so in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's his commandments, his word. Okay? And my Father will love him. And now listen, because it says, and we, which is plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says, we will come unto him. That means they're going to come to us. You got to catch this. It's if we'll just allow him to be the God of our life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will come to us. And get this. This is so powerful. It says, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. King James says abode. Earlier in the scripture it says abide. That literally means make our dwelling place, our home inside of that individual. I don't know about you, but if there's ever a day and ever a time in human history, we need God living very big inside of our heart and our life and in our dwelling place. Amen? Come on, church. I don't know about you, but I need him. And I want him living inside of me, and I want to love him with all my heart, my soul, my strength, and with everything that's in me. It goes on verse 24, and he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. They're not going to do the word. They're not going to follow the scripture. They're going to do just whatever sinners do. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But in verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now that's powerful because there's some takeaways here. We need to allow God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. We need to love his word. We need to love God the Father so they can make their dwelling place, so they can make their home. Now, what I want to do just for a moment, and I want you to bear with me, because this is really interesting, because in 1 Corinthians, Paul began to speak to the Corinthian church. They had a lot of things out of order. Paul never came and slapped them over the head and said, just get lost. God doesn't care about you, because they were doing it all wrong and they were making a bunch of mistakes. What he did is he went to them. He wrote them letters, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, to correct them, to bring them into right order with God the Father and his word. But he spoke a word, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So just go with me there if you can, just for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because I'm going to kind of teach preach. Is that all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to go down with me to verse 9. And Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. He says, but as it is written, I want you to think about this. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You got to let that sink into your spirit. It says, the eye hath not seen, and the ear hath not heard all of the wonderful things that God has prepared for those that love him. So, Let's take away from this. What we see now, and I'm going to use some of my, I know it's not supposed to be, what we see now ain't nothing compared to what he's got for us and waiting for us. The eye hasn't seen anything compared to what God has for us. The ear has not heard all the marvelous things that God has to hear. One day, if I hang in there and I keep fighting the good fight, I'm going to hear those angels sing. I'm going to hear the saints of God sing a song that the angels cannot sing. The song of the redeemed, the song of those who didn't quit, the song who never gave up, but yet kept fighting the good fight of faith. He goes on in verse 10, he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by who? By his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In verse 11, it says, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him. And then it goes on and says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So if we want to learn the deeper things of God's Word, if we want to go deeper in our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, we need a baptism of the Holy Spirit in all the fullness so we can learn and grow and go deeper. Is that an amen or an oh me? You and I need the Spirit of God to live above sin, to live above the garbage, to know what is truth and what is not truth. It says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see, the enemy wants to keep us in bondage. The enemy wants to keep us all bound up and discombobulated and out of sorts spiritually. But when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, when we're filled with the Spirit of truth who can teach us and comfort us and guide us and help us and become our partner, our senior partner in this walk to help us to be able to cross that finish line, he will teach us, but he's got to live big and large inside of each and every one of us. Verse 13, it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But in verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why it's so important for the believer to be filled with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in these last days. Now, some people think, well, Pastor Mike, I don't know about that speaking in tongues. Don't worry about that. Just invite the Holy Spirit into your life. He's a gift. He's a gift. All you got to do is clean house and get sanctified and purified and invite him in to come live in your temple, because the Bible says, and the Apostle Paul says a little bit later, I think it's in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, know ye not that you are the temple of the Lord? Now let's go back to John so I can stay on track. I just had to get a little sidetracked there, okay? So the Holy Spirit, one of his main purposes is to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to John 15. John 15. I want you to go down to verse 26. The last 26 and 27. It's the last two verses of John 15. It says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You see, by being filled with the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit will enable us to become witnesses and to begin to be able to testify of the Lordship of Jesus Christ and all his power and all of his fullness and all of his majesty. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit will give us, through his enablement, the ability to teach and to preach and to share the gospel with those that are lost. Matter of fact, if you go, and we're not going to go there this morning, but if you go to Acts chapter 1, that's one of the purposes. You're going to be endued with power from on high to be witnesses unto me in Judea, in Samaria, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the world. To be witnesses. In verse 27 here of John chapter 15, verse 27, it says, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Talking to the disciples. Talking to the disciples. Let's move on. I want you to go to John chapter 16. Now I'm going to take a moment, because I really believe we got to get a good solid foundation under us right here, okay? And I'm going to read 15 more verses. And I want you to listen to what's going on. I want you to hear the content. I want you to hear the context. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And immediately after John chapter 16, he goes and prays. And I want to challenge you today that sometime, either right after service or before you go to bed, I want you to read John chapter 17, because not only is he speaking of his disciples that he walked with and talked with, he's speaking to us as well. Because he includes us, all those that are to come. But in John chapter 16, verse 1, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." That word offended means like a stumbling block put in your path for you to trip up. Do you know sometimes the reason we don't see miracles in our houses of worship today, and the scripture, I can bear this out and I can show you if you want me to take you there. The reason we don't see the power and the anointing and the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ like we once did is because there is so much offense in the house of God. And we need to let go of our offenses. We need to let go of those things. You know, the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 12, and I quote this often, it says, "When you are so compassed by a crate of clouds, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us." And what I want you to know is that offenses can become a weight, and they can literally become a sin if you don't let them go. Now, there should have been an amen. I know that's one. It's like, what? If I don't let things go, if I don't forgive, then it can literally rob me or hold me back from doing the things that God has called me to do. And I need to let it go. The one that I'm here to please, don't be offended when I say this, I'm not here to please you. I'm not here to make you happy as a pastor. I'm here to feed you as a shepherd feeds his flock. I'm here to lead you. I'm here to guide you to the lordship of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I continually preach the gospel to keep us and feed in, you know, those green pastures. But you are responsible for your own relationship. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, is what the Bible says. You and I got to let go of our offenses. The one that I'm here to please, the one that I'm here to make happy, is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. I love you, and I'm crazy about every one of you that are here and everyone that's watching by Facebook Live and live stream, but my relationship first is with God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. And I want them to live loud inside me. And I want to walk and talk in the language of the scripture that I'm supposed to. You see, I believe when we're full of the Holy Ghost, our language will change. Our vernacular will change. It will so impact our heart and our life and our mind that everything around us will change. The atmosphere will change. When we go to work, you don't even have to say anything. You can just allow God to be God in your life, and the atmosphere can change around you. Do you believe that? I do. And all you got to do is walk it out. But he said he would never walk alone, because they would come to us. Man, that's some shouting material right there. But listen, in verse 1 it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." Look in verse 2. He's going to prophesy of things to come to his disciples. I want you to understand, there are going to be things that happen in the next few years that are going to make us uncomfortable and are not going, they're not going to be pleasant. But we cannot allow those things to get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. I believe that this coronavirus is like a dress rehearsal for things to come. I believe we got to know that our relationship, I believe that how it's shaken us, where we haven't been able to come to church and where we haven't been able to do the things like we normally. I think we had taken things so for granted and got a little off course, and God has to shake us back up to get our priorities right. And so allow God to shake you a little bit. Allow God, when you get on your knees, say, oh God, if there be anything that's in me that's not right or out of order, remove it. Help me identify it so I can get rid of it. All right. It says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. What did they just do? They put us out of the synagogues. What? They had every church close their door. And there wasn't even a fight. But what happens when it comes to where there's going to be a fight and there's going to be a resistance? Let's go on. It says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whoever killeth you will think that he doeth or does God a service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things have I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But in verse 5 he says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But in verse 6 he says, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. I want you to imagine what they're like, what they're feeling, what the disciples, you got to keep it in context. What are they feeling? He just told them in chapter 14 and 15 and now in 16, I'm leaving. I've got to go. And I'm not going to be with you anymore. I mean, on planet Earth. I mean, I'm going to be with you, but not in physical form. But he said, my Father's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And so, can you imagine how you'd feel? You know, I have a picture of my dad on my phone. I look at every day, and it makes me think of my mother. And the other day, a week or two ago, I went out to the graveside knowing that that's just my mother's temporary dwelling place. But I miss him. I know what sorrow and grief feels like. I know what that emptiness feels like when someone you love so very much is not there anymore. And he's preparing their hearts that I'm going to leave, but I'm still going to be with you. So there was sorrow. Sometimes these things we go through, they cause us to feel sorrowful. I don't know about you, but I don't like being cooped up in the house. I don't like these stay-at-home orders. I go bonkers. But you know what? He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's right there in the middle of the storm. And I'm going to land this plane. I'm going to ask my wife to come to the keyboard. But in verse 7 it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Is it expedient? It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. That word reprove literally means he will convict the world of sin. I don't know about you, but when I do something wrong and I'm out of order with the word, the Holy Ghost convicts me. I get this feeling in my spirit that I did something out of place or I did something out of order. I know y'all are looking at me like, oh, Pastor, we thought you were perfect. Now, I'm just playing with you. I'm not perfect. I'm human just like you. Sometimes I have attitudes and feelings that are ungodly and not right. So the Comforter convicts me or reproves me. And so God the Father is going to send the Comforter to reprove the world of sin. And not only of sin, but of righteousness and of judgment. And then it goes on in verse 9, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you shall see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I want you to know the enemy is judged. His fate is sealed. But you and I, all we got to do is accept him and allow him to fill us, and he'll help us walk it out so we can make it to the end. He goes on and says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. In verse 13, he goes, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You got to catch that. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit wants to live inside of us so he can give us divine insight on the things that are going to take place, on the things that are just around the corner. If we're not filled, we're not going to know. He shall glorify me, Jesus says, speaking of the Holy Spirit. He shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. Verse 15, he says, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. And then in verse 16, he tells his disciples, in just a little while, I'm going to have to depart. So what I want to challenge you today, church, is to become hungry for Holy Spirit. To become hungry for Holy Spirit. And where does that begin? Where does that begin? We in the Church of God, in our doctrinal commitments, we believe in sanctification. I believe that's where it begins. I believe each and every one of us, that even as I preached last Sunday out of Psalms 51, you see, David had come to a place where he had been an adulterer, he had been a murderer, he was an accomplice of murder and sin. And Nathan the prophet revealed to him his sin. And what we need is, we need Holy Spirit to come and reveal us and to sanctify us. And we need that sanctification so that we can be the child of God that God wants us to be. When he comes back, who's he looking for? He's looking for a bride. He's looking for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. I'm not telling you that you got to be perfect, because the Bible says that our sin is as filthy rags. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus took his blood and he blotted out the transgressions that were against us. And he wants to live loud and big through the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we can be the children and the people of God, and we can accomplish. You see, this is my personal belief. I don't believe we can accomplish all the things that God wants us to accomplish without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe we'll live under our abilities. And so what I'm going to challenge you, I can preach about the Holy Spirit. I can tell you everything that I know. We can dissect it, but you have to become hungry for Holy Spirit to live in your life. You have to become hungry and allow him and want him to be in your life. That means we've got to become sanctified. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to come live in a dirty house. Let me ask you a question. If you knew somebody special was coming to your house, would you not clean your house? Get the cobwebs off the lights? I know it's spring cleaning time. We had cobwebs on our lights. We've been cleaning lights and painting and doing all kinds of stuff. And then if you know the amazing thing about light? You see, God is light, right? Jesus is the light of the world. Do you know the amazing thing about light is it exposes everything that needs to be exposed? Think about it. When you get up in the morning and that sun is shining through your window in your home, you can see all that dust on the piano or on the end table. Am I right? When you get in your vehicle and you're driving down the road and you're headed to work and the sunlight comes through your window, it exposes just how dirty your windshield is and that you need to sanctify your windshield, right? Do you know when the light of the glorious gospel hits our hearts and lives, the Holy Spirit will reveal and convict of the junk that needs to be removed? You got to catch this, church. Because this is life-changing. And so what we've got to do is we've got to go through the sanctification process. And where does that begin? It begins individually at an altar. At an altar where you kneel before God your Father and God the Son and God the Spirit. And you say, cleanse me. Like David did in Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, David came to a place where Holy Spirit was not close. Why? Because of the sin, because of the garbage, because of separation. And that's what sin will do. Sin will cause a separation. And so what sanctification does, sanctification diminishes the separation. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Y'all got to catch this. Would you just stand to your feet?